Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man.
You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the measuring stick. Let's go hook him up!
I'm gonna drag you until I wear your Texas ass out.
The game is ours to play.
And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Over the Top Radio. I'm your host Ed in Santa Antonio, and I'm joined by my co-host Katrera. What's going on, Katrera?
Not too much. Been a long time.
Only you would not have very much happen in a very long time, whereas everyone else, I'm sure,
had. I didn't
say
it's been that much
whole...
happening. I just said it's been a very long time.
And we also have our other co-host on the line who we haven't talked to in a very long time. Craig, what's going on, Craig?
Greetings and salutations. A long time, no speak.
Yeah, it's been a while, actually.
How come I say the same thing every week and I get yelled at, and Craig says the same thing every week and he don't get yelled at?
It's my shit.
At least he has a line he puts some thought into, you know what I mean? And it's
a line he puts a thought into. He's only 5 seconds to say it.
You can yell at him if you want.
Like
you
watching
yell at him
the Raw. It's the same shit every week.
You know, I didn't notice this. I was watching something on the network. And or maybe it was the opening to Raw. I forgot what the fuck it was. But it was basically the montage. And then the very last thing that you see on the montage basically is Donald Trump and then the yes thing. So do you think they're putting in some subliminal messages saying to vote for Donald Trump? Do you think Vince would actually do something like that? Because if you look at that opening montage, I don't know if it was Raw, SmackDown, or something on the network, but I swear to God, it was like a deliberate thing where you see Trump, and then you see yes, and it was like, what the fuck?
The whole country's going down the fucking shitter.
Well, you're not wrong.
No, thankfully, not sad. It's actually been pretty good the last couple weeks.
Hey, as long as gas is under $2, I'm happy.
Well, you're an easy man to please.
Yeah. I mean, really, that's the main issue as far as I'm concerned is fucking gas prices, because, you know, when it's almost $4, it really fucking sucks, but when it's currently $1.85, that's pretty nice.
This whole election is like one of those Pride Freak Show matches, you know, that they used to have back in the day. Just this whole thing's screwed up. I don't pay much attention to and I was all screwed up. So, anyway.
It's like Saturday Night Live is in charge of this whole election, because everything is like a skit, like they used to do at Saturday Night Live.
Yeah. It's they want Trump to be in there for a long time because they've got loads of material to concentrate on if he's there.
It's like a whack job, man. It's like a parody of a president with him in there, isn't it? Jesus Christ. Yeah. And I don't even pay that much attention to it, but I know Donald Trump, and I know he's a fucking idiot.
He's a rich idiot, though.
Well, he's a whack job is what he is.
How can you talk about a freaking WWE Hall of Famer like that?
There's plenty of whack jobs in WWE Hall of Fame. He's not the only one.
Well, that's true. That was a bad point in my part.
Anyway. I mean, to be honest, my dad's into that whole election stuff, and he just goes off on it all the time. I'm even trying not to pay attention to him. But, he yells at the TV.
All right, guys, we got religion next on the topic. We've already talked about politics. Okay, go.
Well, who says we're done with politics, though? You know what would be, what's weird is usually there's at least one decent candidate for the presidency. I mean, it's not like I care for Hillary either. You know what I mean? I actually would have preferred for the old man Bernie to have stepped up because I just never have liked Hillary when she was, you know, the brooding first lady who caused Bill to have to cheat on her. I blame her. And stuff, and that's why you got the Hummer in the office and stuff. But I just I'm not a biggest fan of her, so it's like I don't even. And then part of me, the evil part of me, wants to vote for Trump just to fucking, you know what I mean, like the Jesse Ventura kind of thing when he won governor. It's like you kind of want to vote. Not that I could have, but you're like, I hope they vote for him just to fucking just see what the fuck happens. There's a part of me that wants to see the world go upside down, and that's probably what's going to happen if Trump gets elected. It's going to be good or bad, but whatever it is, it's going to be one hell of a ride. But I guess that means we can move on since there's no response to that.
Yes, please. Yes, please. That's...
Sorry to bring all that up. I don't know why I brought it up.
Well, it's amazing we haven't talked about it really since it started. I mean, you know, there is a wrestling connection, Jesus Christ. I mean, like I said, WWE Hall of Famer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, since Craig was trying to change the subject earlier, what do you want to talk about, Craig?
What do I want to talk about?
Yeah, what would you like to talk about?
Geez, we've been gone for so long, I don't know what to start with.
I want to talk about. I want to talk about the final deletion. Did you watch that?
Yeah, I did. And
it was amazing.
Only to be outdone by the Chris Jericho podcast with Broken Matt Hardy yesterday.
Oh, I haven't heard that. Hardy's in character.
Yeah, the whole time for an hour.
Oh wow! No mess up.
Yeah,
he did it clean the whole way.
The whole way. It was amazing. He at one point compared himself to Hillary Clinton because she knows how to delete as well.
Hello? Uh-oh.
When I saw the drone pop up with the hologram of Matt Hardy, I lost my shit. Just live
yeah.
Alone.
Well, the MVP of the whole thing, and he's not getting enough credit, is Vanguard 1.
Yes. There was a lot of talk about all those characters on the Jericho podcast, so make sure you listen to it. It's pretty tremendous.
I'll have to give that a listen to. I remember like years and years ago we actually had Delirious on the show, and he actually did about an hour, probably more like 45 minutes, but he did it in character the whole time. It's like, it's amazing how they can do something like that and that's fucked up.
Just gibberish.
Yeah. Just gibberish for 45 minutes. Peach was able to translate it, but
I was so entertained that it's obvious the Hardys had to come up with that. TNA couldn't come up with that on their own.
Yeah.
I want to smoke some of the weed that Jeff and Matt are smoking, because that must have been some good shit, because that they came up with some. The boat.
I think Senior Benjamin's going out there and picking it for him.
North Cameron Kush.
sign. But there it is. I mean, he's.
It was one of those. I say it was like, my God, that was awful. I don't mean it was horrible, but that's like an entertaining way. I can't say I was not entertained by it. You know, so being,
you know,
it was bad.
You know, at some point when we were all kids, thought about, hey, get our friends together and let's like make a little movie and something like that. And you think of all these wacky things, and you never did it. And it's like the Hardys did it like 30 years later. This is like they planned this like from their childhood, and then all these years later, they're able to finally make it into a movie, and it's fucking awesome because that's what it's like. The whole thing is something like a couple stone little kids would fucking think of, you know.
Mhm. He's got to win some kind of award in the Observer this year for his character. I find.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
It's funny. It's funny because he was talking about, he was in character, but he like told the truth on some stuff. So he was talking about how Jeremy Borash was the guy that went and filmed the thing. They had three cameras, and him and Jeremy put this thing together. And he said they shot for about an hour. If you can believe that.
You think it would have taken like fucking weeks, like any other movie. They did it all in an hour. That's crazy.
It was a match where they had Bottle Rocket Wars, basically what it was.
That was tremendous.
But you remember when you were a kid, you had Bottle Rocket Wars? Did you ever do that?
Of course.
What do you mean,
yeah.
Kid? Dude,
we used
to, then it was time to stop.
Well,
okay.
I remember because they after a while they banned the little bottle rockets. At least they did here. You could shoot off the big bottle rockets, but the little like the black cat bottle, they stopped selling those. So after those wars went away, what we would do is we'd get a used Roman candle, and we would just unwrap a bunch of black cats, and we would put it at the end of the Roman candle, light it, and fling it across the yard at our friends. But yeah.
Wow.
We used to have awesome bottle rocket and then Black Cat Wars.
Yeah, he talked about the dilapidated boat, and like he gave it a name. I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was amazing. It was a great podcast, and everything. He had like this backstory on the character about how he suffered some trauma in the match, in the original match with Jeff, and that's why his hair is white in the front now, and it's from stress and blah, 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 blah. And he has this enlightenment from the seven gods and this and that and the other thing, and he is a soul, and he knew Chris Jericho's soul and blah, 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 blah. It's so amazing. He has a backstory. He has an end in mind. it's pretty tremendous.
I know they were planning to do a sequel called like The Final Liquidation or something like that. I heard recently.
The Liquidation. Okay.
It seems like it. I don't know. It's one of those things that I wouldn't try to do again because you wouldn't be able to match it. So
exactly. Exactly.
I mean, make me in no way want to watch TNA, but I do, whenever they do some stuff like that, I will watch it on. Actually, the best thing was that we watched it on YouTube, and it had the Ryan and Vinny commentary with it, so that was even better.
Yeah, I still haven't seen the director's cut yet, but I've heard that's really great, too.
Apparently, they say you would have had to watch an entire episode of Impact to get the whole thing, because they aired it like in pieces throughout the show, so I wouldn't have lasted.
Did he talk about how his wife is always getting into shit with other women in wrestling?
I thought she flipped out over something that what's her name, SoCal Val, said about having a kid out there, which is strange having a kid out there. You got to say all the time.
She went ahead and left that out.
Oh, okay. Always about the interesting stuff. She had, what was it? I forgot how many tweets in a row it was.
I know. It's like I got to like the 56 one and said, shut the fuck up. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things where having a limit on Twitter like kind of sucks because, you know, you could have just seen it all in one post, but instead she's just like blowing up the timeline on that.
Mm-hmm.
And then let's not forget how Awesome Kong kind of got rowdy with her in front of the baby overseas and slammed her against the wall and choking her. And then they ended up firing her they fired Awesome Kong because of that. I mean.
Although having the kid there did pay off when they did that bit with Matt and Jeff at Matt's house. And she ran in and tossed a doll to pose the kid and distracted Jeff. He got beat up.
Yeah.
That was pretty damn awesome. It's just weird with her. You know, she got that baby thing on her chest and running around with that baby. It's just very strange. I won't say it's bad.
Speaking of women going off on each other on Twitter, did either of you guys see the exchange between Melissa Santos and Cody Rhodes' wife?
No, I missed that.
Okay.
I missed all the Twitter drama.
They were at the gym or they passed by, and Melissa went to say hello to Brandy, and that's her name, right, Brandy? Yeah, and Brandy kind of blew her off a little bit. So Santos told her that, you know, introduced herself, said she was Lucha Underground, and then when she heard Lucha Underground, Cody's wife wanted to talk to her, and then Melissa Santos just turned around and walked off, and then they just started going at it on Twitter for like a day. Yeah, girls just weren't getting along for that week, man. It's crazy.
I don't know how much Kirk Ribby's guys had done on her face. Jesus Christ. I've never seen her before. I kind of looked at her during that video, and Jesus, she's got $1 million worth of work done on her face.
I think so, huh?
Yep.
Okay.
Oh, they've all had work done. We just don't know about it. No.
Well, some of it's very
obvious.
Some
sticks out.
Yeah, some literally sticks out. So since we haven't been here for the last few weeks, what did you guys think about the draft?
I liked it. I enjoyed it. I thought they made some good choices. I hate this new championship shit. I hate having these two champions. Now they're going to have two tag team champions and two women's champions. I hate that stuff.
Yeah,
that's
going to be kind of stuff. You got two titles that mean less, basically what I'm trying to say.
Agreed.
Because you have two chains.
And now the U.S. and the Intercontinental mean even less. But as far as the draft, there are things I liked about the draft, but there are other things I didn't. There's like, they could have made it so much better. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They could have made it more of a thing. They could have had a war room. They could have made a trade. It was just ridiculous, and I also watched the thing on the network. I don't know if you guys watched that. So I pretty much saw the whole draft till they turned the light off on Heath Slater, which was the best part of the payoff of the whole 4 or 5 hours this lasted was incredible. I'll give him credit for that. That was fucking awesome. But it did kind of suck seeing all these names come up before Bayley, even though I kind of had a feeling she was going to be on the pay-per-view, so I didn't lose my shit as much as some people about it. But, you know, it's just, I'm glad they explained the Cesaro thing this past week with Foley. I thought that was like a nice kind of like little touch thing off of it. They could have done so much more, but I don't know. But it was okay. I mean, I didn't hate it.
Well, you got me watching SmackDown. I'm watching SmackDown every week now since it's live. So.
I thought SmackDown was better this week by far.
Yeah, Raw was way better last week the first week after the draft. I thought that was like one of the best Raws in a couple of years.
Yeah, it was pretty good. SmackDown was awesome because they had Ambrose was awesome, and then they had that awesome fucking Cena AJ segment that was fucking just incredible. So. I thought they were. And then American Alpha debuting.
Yeah, I still have to see it. I thought the Raw right after the draft was just ridiculously great. I loved every part of that show, and I didn't even honestly mind the Braun Strowman squash. But it was,
I like that. Just bringing some goober in every week to lose. I like the little squash match stuff they've been doing with like Braun Strowman and Nia Jax.
And I like how they added the little interview before too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The first guy was better than the one this week, but I mean it's kind of like that. They have made it more of a sporting kind of a thing with like the side, you know, the interviews right after and stuff. I kind of like those little changes, and I don't think I've seen the fucking zooming in and out either the last couple weeks.
It's very much been toned down, yes.
Yeah.
I've enjoyed Corey Graves. I think he's pretty good on all commentary.
He's great.
He's good. David Otunga sucks, though.
He's horrible. He just has nothing to say, and he just, I don't know. It's like nobody's telling him what to say when they should. Telling him what to say, I don't know what it is. He's just not very good.
The thing with Corey Graves is he's been a surprise and he's been pretty good. As long as I don't see him, I'm fine. But I can't take him seriously when he's on the screen because he's got all those neck tattoos and somehow it makes his neck look even like it's 3-4 inches longer than it should be. And he looks like
you're wearing a suit with the neck tattoos.
You remember when Obi-Wan was buying the clones from those aliens with the long necks? That's what he fucking looks like. He looks like one of those dudes. He looks like a fucking giraffe. He's got the world's like longest neck, or at least that's what the tattoos make it look like. Am I the only one?
You think I would have a problem with it, but I have no problem with it. It is what it is. It's not distracting to me. But, I could see how some people could be kind of weirded out by it because that is an ugly tattoo on his neck, and it's front and center.
It just looks strange with the suit on. It looks like the old saying, you can't dress up a turd. So.
Wow.
you got all the shit you're trying to cover up. You got him out there in a nice suit, but he's still got these tattoos everywhere. So. Not that he's actually a turd. I actually like enjoy his commentary and stuff. I just say the tattoos could look bad. I think
I've been loving Morrow on SmackDown and the Cruiserweight Classic. That guy has been great for such a long time, and he and Daniel Bryan have this amazing chemistry on that show, and. Gosh, last night that Ciampa and Johnny Gargano match, that was so good.
Unfortunately, I've only watched like the first episode because I think I've been saving up to watch like 2 or 3 in a row because I really enjoy it. So
it's an easy watch, and it's an hour. It goes by really quickly, and everything's good on it. It's it's kind of almost a throwback,
I like the graphics at the beginning when they're. About this, when they're like promoing the match, it looks like something out of a video game where they both fire up on the screen, like trying to hit each other or something like that.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty funny.
I was gonna say Daniel Bryan, I think, is even better than Morrow, and I wish he was on SmackDown as not the GM but as the announcer, because there's nothing better than hearing Daniel Bryan just marking out for something. I mean, it gets you excited. Like the way, how Jim Ross would get you excited during a match.
Yeah.
He wouldn't be the same style, but he'd be marking out so bad, he'd be like, I need to watch this pay-per-view. I need to see the show. And I think he'd be even more effective that way than as the GM. I mean, he blows me away. On commentary. It's so different and, it's just awesome.
Yeah, definitely. Yep, they're a good team. They would.
Cruiserweight stuff is good until they debut on Raw and they get laid out by Braun Strowman in their debut.
They're going to bring back Scott Steiner to put three of them in their standard recliner. You know, what's funny is, you know, they're saying they're going to bring back the Cruiserweights, and Craig, you've been watching the Raws with this Cruiserweight tournament or Lightweight. I forgot what the fuck it was. But seeing how bad all that is, do you have any hope at all now that they'll fucking do something better?
It's funny because, okay, back in the day, 19 years ago, you know, that Brian, Vince, and myself have been reviewing those episodes, the Cruiserweights on WCW were so far and away superior to what the WWE was doing. It's just the fact that WWE saw the success of the lightweight guys, and then they decided to do their own thing.
Here's the thing. They didn't see it. They heard it. They heard about these lightweight guys. They didn't see it, so they had no clue when they tried to do it themselves.
So they brought in two very, very top high flyers and then lost one of them pretty much immediately in Sasuke and Takamichinoku. And I don't care on what planet you're living on. In no way is Takamichinoku better than Rey Mysterio. He just isn't. And then they had, you know, they had all the luchadors and whatnot, and WWE responded by bringing in
Pantera.
Christopher.
Pantera.
That's true. They brought in all those AAA guys, and I think maybe one of them was any good. I think Hysteria was really good, and they just didn't know how to book them. And now that WWE is the only game in town, it's funny to me because Stephanie obviously wanted to have the Cruiserweights on her show, because they're what's hot right now. Everybody's talking about Cruiserweights, and lightweight guys are making the biggest noise on the indie scene. And Hunter knew that. Excuse me. Hunter knows that. And she quickly snapped up all the Cruiserweights for Raw. Is it going to work? Excuse me. Is it going to work? I have no idea. But they're doing it correctly with Hunter in charge over at NXT and Full Sail. So it works there. I don't know that when Vince McMahon gets his hands on it, if it's going to work. Because at the end of the day, he's still Vince McMahon, and he still knows everything about wrestling, and we don't. So
they're not going to get the time that they're getting on the cruiser. I mean, not that like the first round, it's not like they really had long matches, but they're still getting 5-6 minutes. When they get on Raw, they're going to be, even if they might say, okay, you're going to get some time to, right before the match, it's going to be, you got 2 minutes and then go home. So, you know.
They'd be better fit on SmackDown.
Absolutely. And not to mention Daniel Bryan's there, and he could be such a mentor to those young guys and show those guys how to work big, because a lot of those
Cruiserweights
don't work big.
Yeah, but Stephanie wants to take credit for fucking everything. Like, you know, she wanted to take credit for the Divas Revolution, which didn't take off, and now she wants to be associated with the Cruiserweight because that's the end thing, and she has to put herself on there for some reason. The way they book Stephanie is so weird because they didn't even book Vince like that. You know what I mean? Vince always got his comeuppance, where Stephanie doesn't, and then she always wants to be associated with, you know what I mean? The Divas Revolution got hot on NXT, so then she had to make it all about herself when they brought him up to Raw and stuff, and then that just fucking went to shit. And she's going to do the same thing with the Cruiserweights. She's going to come out with the Cruiserweights, make a big deal, then they're not going to book them, and then it's just going to fall apart probably. I mean, I don't know.
I hope you're wrong, but yeah.
I figure that they just had, they Foley the GM because there's somebody she can fire.
Maybe.
I was actually hoping maybe they bring back Eric Bischoff or something for the GM. Seemed like he could. He's always liked him.
I don't know about this.
I wish that they would at least have done one of the one night things like they did with Vicky and Teddy Long and what's his name that married the Bella's mom. Do you know, have him come out one night and do that? I don't know. If I'd want to see him there permanently or for a while.
But hey, Jinder Mahal's back, so that's great.
Yes.
All the people
great.
Bring back fucking Jinder Mahal.
They say those Chinese names come back. Jinder Mahal.
Yeah, they couldn't get Luke Galloway, so Jinder Mahal.
I do like how they're bringing back Shelton Benjamin, and hopefully we can get some Shelton Benjamin and Jack Swagger against America Alpha matches. I think that would be fucking awesome.
That's not a bad idea, yeah.
Yeah. And then we
not
get, like,
a
newly elected senator or, I don't know what the fuck, representative or whatever the fuck Rhino is, but Rhino's back, too. He's at least better than Jinder Mahal.
I'm glad to see Shelton back, though. That guy is always, I think he was very underrated.
He was.
I hope he does well this run. Yeah, and everybody knows him because he had that one awesome match with Shawn Michaels, but he was a good worker. I don't care what anybody says. Roman.
Yeah, he had that, you know, I mean, I haven't seen a lot of his stuff since they moved over to Noah, but, I mean, when he was in New Japan, he was having great matches on the G1 with everybody and stuff, so he's still good.
I liked his mom.
His mom
was tremendous. It should bring her back. She was amazing.
Did they? Yeah,
I thought they killed her off.
Did they kill her off?
I can't remember. She may be dead in her life. I don't know.
She might be.
I have to look it up now.
I just remember him wheeling her around in that wheelchair, and I can't remember what he did, but she was just scolding him from the chair and, you know, smack your black ass, and Shelton, like, busts up on screen just as it's, you know, as it's going dark. She was awesome.
I saw her do, like, I'm talking years and years and years and years and years before I had seen her do her stand-up routine on, like, HBO or something like that.
She was pretty funny.
I'm surprised she's more famous than she was.
I typed in Shelton Benjamin's mom, and the first thing that comes up is some sort of a news thing that says Shelton Benjamin's mom claims she was sexually harassed while working in WWE.
Oh, that's right. Who harassed her?
I forgot.
No, it doesn't matter.
I have to read more about this because I'm not buying it.
It's probably Michael Hayes.
Well, if
like
it was
those
Virgil
people,
working
those,
for the company at the time, I'd say
people
it was Virgil
on that,
famous for that.
On that WWE lawsuit that worked for WWE for like 2 months and now claim they didn't teach them about concussions. You know? Yeah. It's so
stupid.
Yeah,
some of those names are pretty wacky.
Rob Price, who the fuck did he ever wrestle? In WWE. I don't
he
even
was
remember
one of the,
him.
He
was
sounds
he like
one
he
of the
was.
Knights?
I don't know. He sounds
no,
like somebody they brought in for a dark match and then they didn't hire him.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. So 2 days and destroyed your head. Bullshit.
All right, Craig. So, what do you want to talk about now?
Man, I just brought up the last one. This is your show, brother.
I didn't think of anything to talk about. I actually want to talk about Batman Killing Joke, but I know you all probably haven't even watched it.
I watched the first 30 minutes and fell asleep.
Oh, God.
Wow.
See, this one,
I fell asleep after Batman and Batgirl had sex on the roof.
What?
Have you seen it, Craig?
No, I have not.
Are you planning on seeing it?
Dude, I didn't even see the last X-Men movie yet. I am so far behind.
It's on video on demand.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
All
right. It's not like a theater movie.
Well, they actually, they did do one of those, like, limited city engagements for two nights, and they actually made money. They actually made a lot of money for what it was available to. But basically what it is, it's one of the most famous Batman graphic novels. And basically they did the graphic novel, but they added another 30 minutes to the beginning, which some people are bitching and complaining about. And I disagree. I think it added to the thing because I don't really read the Batman. I never really read the Batman comics. I never really watched the Batman, the original Batman cartoon. So I don't have a lot of backstory or history with Batgirl to care about her. And I thought the 30 minutes before it adds to the thing because in the graphic, on the Killing Joke part, she gets shot and paralyzed, and then the Joker strips her naked and takes photos of her to show her dad later. So to me, it added this because it made me care about her before that happened. So you care, you know, it's more interesting, and then it ends with her becoming a different superhero character altogether. So I thought it was badass. I don't know. I guess Couture got bored and fell asleep after he watched the first 30 minutes of it.
Yeah, I had a hard time getting into the animated stuff. I try to watch Marvel animated shows and stuff like that. I just can't get into them.
I like this one because this one was kind of like I don't want to say they drew it old school, but like some of the drawings of the Joker in this are awesome, and Mark Hamill is fucking better than Heath Ledger as a fucking Joker. I mean, he's incredible in this fucking thing, actually. So it's actually, and it's dark as shit. I mean, it's not a happy story whatsoever. But I liked it. I thought it was one of the best things I've seen from DC.
That's
hearing
Suicide
Squad is not really that, you know, it's really, really all that good. Except for fucking what's her name. But I enjoyed it. I don't know why people are so fucking, why the first 30 minutes is such so, people are getting so uproar about it.
I wasn't in an uproar. I was just bored.
Yeah. I can't blame Batman for fucking her. She was hot for a cartoon.
I saw the 3-hour Batman vs. Superman. I thought it was pretty damn good. Did you see it?
The director's cut?
Yeah, the Ultimate Edition?
No, I haven't seen that version yet, which I guess I should because people are saying it's better. But, I mean, as far as what I saw in the theater, I just thought that movie was all right. I mean, it was good, but it was nothing to, like, write home about.
Brings the whole story together, makes everything make more sense, the 3-hour version.
Have you seen the trailer for Justice League?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm still haven't decided how I feel about the Aquaman parts, but goddamn, the parts with the Flash is fucking awesome, and I think that's going to make the movie, and it's actually making me want to see it. I just thought the parts with the Flash were just tremendous.
Well, they put, I think at the last minute they added him into Suicide Squad in a cameo. So.
Oh, well.
Wonder Woman looks really good. I think that looks like the best one. Did you see that trailer?
Saw that one?
I actually haven't seen that one yet.
That's an awesome, that looks great.
Yeah, that's been out for a couple weeks since Comic-Con.
That's always the other trailer I saw. So Kong Skull Island, I'm looking forward to seeing that.
Oh, that looks unreal.
Mm-hmm. They're setting up their own universe there because he's going to fight Godzilla in a few years. They had to make him, like, really big. This isn't like the apes to fill off the Empire State Building. This is, like, a lot bigger. So.
This is the first one's daddy or mom, then.
We're just coming one step closer to that.
I hope we get the
Japanese video game movie.
I hope we get the Japanese version of Godzilla versus King Kong when they make it in the future. I want to see Godzilla. Yeah, and you know how they have
the one where Godzilla wins.
Yeah, there's two versions. There's one where Godzilla wins, and there's
King Kong one, and then Japan Godzilla one. God, that King Kong was horrible in the movie.
But yeah, that one looks good. It's fucking. I'm hearing like the same mixed reviews about Suicide Squad.
Well, I never pay much attention to reviews anyway. I just watch stuff on my own because some people. I'm not that hard to please anyway. So, but that's just me. And did you see you watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., right?
Oh, yeah.
You see Ghost Rider coming there this season?
Interesting. I did not see that. That is interesting, though.
He's going to be one of, like, the main character on there this season. But.
I'm okay with that. It's
that Nicolas Cage.
A lot of people, after, like, mid-season on the first year, or first season, like, they dropped out. Because they had a couple of stinker of episodes, but I stuck with it, and I'm glad I did. That's a good series.
Yeah,
I don't think it's.
Weren't they
going to
do
awesome.
Like a spinoff too, but it got canceled.
Yeah, the spinoff got canceled.
Spinoff. Anyway, yeah, I'm glad I stuck with that one. I'm really glad I stuck with Gotham. I think those are. I think that's two really good shows that people gave up on way too early.
Yeah. Watch Gotham TV, that was pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
I can't wait till it's going to be a while because I watch it on Netflix, but they still haven't even put the new series, this year's series on yet, but next year when Goldust becomes, well, I don't know, I'm sure he won't be under Goldust. I mean, Stardust. And Cody Rhodes becomes one of his main enemies on Arrow next year. That should be pretty cool.
I don't know who I need to contact, but I need to weasel my way onto that show some way, somehow. Because I feel responsible for kind of bringing them together.
You screwed the whole thing up, Craig.
You even ruined it.
Okay, caused Kevin Dunn to have a tantrum.
That's not the way I remember it.
But that should actually be pretty cool.
It's weird having the Justice League movie and having the Flash TV series at the same time with two different Flashes. It's strange.
Yeah, that is kind of true. But I kind of was like, I heard it was going to be a different Flash. But I was like, why don't they just use the kid from the TV show? He's decent. And then I saw the trailer, and like I said, I actually like the guy from the new one. So I think it'll be fine, but it is kind of weird.
Some people are good, like the TV Flash is a good TV Flash. I don't know if he'd be a good movie Flash.
Yeah, that's true.
Isn't it funny, two of the characters that were kind of the young punks in the comic books, they finally got them right, Spider-Man and now the Flash. They finally found the right guy for the part.
Mm-hmm.
Took them this long, but they finally figured it out.
They're finally bringing up. Well, you know, the Supergirl's coming to the CW this year, this season. You know, it's changing networks. It's going to be part of the whole Flash and Arrow universe or whatever. And they're going to be doing crossovers and stuff.
Interesting.
So, I watched Supergirl. I was kind of. When I first saw the first trailer for Supergirl, I thought it kind of looked stupid, but I watched the whole season. It's really good. And they're actually going to have a – and then the season premiere, they're bringing Superman. They're going to have Superman on there for the first time, so that should be pretty cool.
Cool. Although, I told you guys I went to NXT. That's right. Yeah, that's why we didn't do a show last week. So, anyway, I went to NXT last week, and all I got to say is they need to fucking make a trade for this fucking Sin Andres, whatever the fuck his name is. Send his ass back to Mexico for Valador Jr. or somebody else, because this guy sucks. I mean, it's funny because they brought him out, and he's not wearing white this time. He's got his fucking black tights, black suspender, black cat. Couldn't tell if there was a feather or not. There might not have been, but he's in black. And then they bring out fucking Blake and Murphy, and I'm like, oh, this is going to suck. Anyway, turns out Blake is from San Antonio, so they announced that, and he was playing it up, and everybody, I guess, knew that somehow. So he was over. So they start the match, and fucking La Sombra is fucking working heel. I can't say he's a full-blown heel, but he's working heel. And it's actually, to me, it was like kind of working. It's like, man, he's looked better than I've seen him. He's doing all right. And then this fucking match just fell apart, and their timing was off on like the next five or six things, and it just totally sucked. Somehow, you know, everyone was forgiving of Blake because he stayed over for everything he did throughout the match, but like it just like fell apart. And it's like, this dude is not helping his fucking cause. They just, I don't know, I don't think it's working. Let's fuck it, before they ruin him, let's send him back to Mexico and let's get Valador Jr. and give him a shot. He's got a better body anyway. But, yeah, that match sucked. I can't say the match sucked. It was okay, but like I say, it fell apart for a while. As far as everything else, they had, and it was weird because I thought they were all the ones that got drafted weren't going to be on the show, but they pretty much all were. Alexis wasn't on, but they had Carmella come out, and she starts cutting her stick, and then she says she wants to try some new lines, and then I guess she's not used to these new lines because her voice was going from accent to not accent throughout, kind of, like she couldn't hold her accent the whole time. And she was wearing, if you saw SmackDown, she's wearing these gold boots or shoes or whatever. But anyway, she comes out, and then they announce a tag match, so she comes out, cuts the promo, and then she gets cut off by two new girls. One of the name is Mandy Rose, who's a fucking hot blonde, and she's already better than Dana Brooks. And but she also had some gold. She had some gold boots on too. And unfortunately, NXT missed out on the battle of the gold boots that they could have got a program out of. But she's like I say, she's green as shit, but she's better than Dana Brooks. And then she was teaming with Daria from Tough Enough. I don't know if you guys remember her. She was like the MMA chick. So she comes out. She comes out and she's kind of dressed like she's gonna get into like gonna work out doing Muay Thai, right? Like the shorts, and comes out and she's got fucking MMA gloves on, right? So they both cut an interview. She gets the gloves on. Mandy Rose starts the match. Daria's on the outside, and she's there with her gloves. So finally, she gets tagged in the match, and she gets in the ring. And the first thing she does is take off her gloves and fucking jumps down. It's like, fuck, I thought it was gonna be, she was going to be like Brock and wear the gloves or whatever, but I thought it was stupid that they ended up taking them off right before she gets into it. But she had a couple good takedowns. She actually, green as shit, but she actually looked confident. As green as she was, and then they brought out Bailey, and then the place went crazy, and then Bailey was off. And it's a little theater, a little theater that it was at. And so the stage was on, you know, the ring was where the stage would be, and they had room for two of the inflatable guys. I didn't think they had any at all, but they had two of them. And then the best match was Revival against Gargano and Ciampa. And that match was pretty badass. They're gonna tear it down at the takeover thing. I mean, it was really, really, really good. Finally, the ropes, there's all these near pins, and then it looks like it's going to be the pin, and then one of the Revival pulls the ref out, and then they get disqualified. So a real shitty ending for, an awesome match, but that was awesome. And then they had Austin Aries working full-blown heel against I forgot what number he was in the pro wrestling, in the Sports Illustrated top 101, but Kenta Kobayashi came out of retirement, and he wrestled Austin Aries, and they had an awesome match. And it wasn't as hard-hitting as when we saw Aries and Kenta Kobayashi back WrestleMania weekend in Houston back in the day, back when Kenta Kobayashi was in his prime, before he retired and came back out.
So there's a Kenta Kobayashi and there's a Kenta Kobashi.
Right.
Well, they kind of both have the same names, but they told Kenta, we already have a Kenta Kobayashi, so you're just Kenta.
Oh, yeah.
So,
are you talking about Hideo Itami?
Hideo Itami. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, see, what happened is that guy from the Sports Illustrated thing, he thought Hideo Itami was Kenta Kobayashi. He got him confused, and he was talking like it was the legendary one and stuff. So that's why I was saying that.
You mean Kenta Kobashi?
Yeah, Kenta Kobashi.
Okay.
Yeah. But anyway, Aries and Hideo Itami had an awesome match. And then they had the main event was I was worried because I heard it had been the Drifter in a lot of cities was Joe's tag team partner, but basically it was Finn Balor making it wasn't his last show, it was his third from his last show, but I think there's a promo of his last farewell speech. Basically, he gave that to us too here, so everybody in these three shows got it. So it was Finn and Shosuke against Samoa Joe and Bobby Roode. So big, big upgrade from the Drifter being in the match. So it was really good. It was a really good match.
That was the main?
Yeah, that was the main, and then that's when Balor gave his farewell. Well, it was more like they drafted me, but then there's going to be these shows, and no way in hell am I not going to be come to San Antonio and be in the main event of NXT, and that's how it kind of started. But then by the end of it, you could tell it was his farewell thing. And then Sasuke stayed there the whole time, and then they played Sasuke's music at the end to kind of put him over. But it was a good show overall, but it was maybe 2,000 people there. If that, because I say, it's a small theater, totally sold out. I mean, it was totally sold out, but it was pretty cool.
Hey, I found some story with Stone Benjamin's mother and the sexual harassment. Can I read you a few lines from this? This is a quote. She says, I genuinely hated that place. While I was there, I was sexually harassed every day by a perverted middle-aged man that didn't understand what no meant. It was disgusting. I'll never forget the day he came into my changing area with his private parts hanging out of his pants. I made up my mind at that point I was done with that company. Clearly, he's talking about Ric Flair.
Interesting.
Like Virgil, but Virgil wasn't working. Was Virgil working for the company at the time? Because I've always heard that Virgil sexually harassed pretty much all the women in all the companies that he's worked with.
I don't think so.
He was at a card show by himself or something. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, he's in the subway selling gimmicks, $5 each for a picture.
Man has no
basically, basically, any woman in wrestling who's ever worked a show or something with him will tell you that he's kind of maybe not harassed is too strong a word, but he hits on basically everybody or all the girls, no matter who it is.
Well, that way your odds are better that way, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, they might all say no, but that one, when that one finally says yes, there you go.
Uh-huh.
Eventually somebody says yes. Yeah.
Eventually.
Eventually. But anything else you guys want to talk about? Because I actually want to
wrap up. Were this past Monday, were they cheering Roman more because he wasn't in the main event no more?
I just think it depends on the town that they're in. You know what I mean? I mean, they just – some towns hate him, and I won't say some towns love him. I just think some towns are more tolerant of him.
Where were they at? Atlanta?
Anything to do. Yes, that sounds right.
Okay. Okay. They cheered him a little more because he stood up against the foreign monster, and the foreign monster the week before the Olympics starts in a city that hosted the Olympics. So, and Atlanta is Old South, and Old South, you've always had the Russian monster, the Japanese, or the stereotypical. So I think it's just a city where he was going to get cheered a little more just because of who he was standing up against. Had that happened in New York or somewhere else, a totally different story, but I think where it was at is why he got cheered a little more. And I think that's the main reason.
It's not a bad theory.
Yeah.
I just look at it as fancy, okay, we finally got this fucker out of the main event where he starts cheering him now.
Yeah, I'm sure there was a little bit of that too. But speaking of the Olympics, do you guys plan on watching any Olympics?
Nope.
No, sir.
Nope.
If you wouldn't have brought it next day, I wouldn't know if Olympics were happening.
Yeah, I have no reason to watch it. I mean,
I got limited time on my schedule anyway. I think it was 94 during the whole Nancy Kerrigan, Tonya Harding drama.
Oh, yeah.
That was the Winter Olympics, too. That's even the shitty Olympics.
But I like the Winter Olympics more.
The best Olympics was that Atlanta Olympics.
Where they had the bombing?
Especially if you really...
I disagree with the Munich when all the athletes got murdered. I'm kidding.
No,
the 1980s Olympics.
The one in Atlanta, though.
I don't know. I've never really watched an Olympics to know which one is the best. I would just say Tonya Harding thing and Nancy Kerrigan thing obviously sticks out in my mind because it was such a big fucking deal.
Well, if you let me say why the Atlanta ones were awesome, it's because if you look back, you'll see that Kurt Angle, with a broken neck, won a gold medal in Atlanta.
Which I didn't know at the time and don't care about now.
Yeah. Mark Henry, who we kind of knew at the time, was there, but he choked. He blew it. And then Ronda Rousey won a medal. And it also had the Dream Team. Wasn't that the original Dream Team was in Atlanta?
I thought that everybody did because the players were too good that they picked for the Dream Team.
Yeah.
And couldn't nobody beat them.
Yeah. So, and then, like, they beat everybody by, like, 100 points a game, so they have that. They had, and then they had the Magnificent Seven. Carrie Strug fucking fighting back the pain and fucking hitting that landing and the women winning their first gold medal was awesome. I cried.
I don't know. I still pop for when Tonya Harding cried about her shoelace coming undone.
Did she cry more than
your neck of the woods,
when she got hit?
Isn't she from your neck of the woods?
No, she's down in Oregon. It's about 3 hours south of here.
Okay.
But yeah.
How the fuck did they even let her back in the Olympics to compete? What I want to know.
I'll do you one better than that. After the Olympics, Conan ran a lucha show. Do you remember this?
Yes, I remember.
He ran a lucha show in Portland at the horse track stadium. And she was one of the special ring enforcers at the show. And I have no idea.
And they actually brought over All Japan Women was negotiating to bring her in for as a wrestler. I remember at the time.
My buddy Matt, Matt Farmer, who we should probably have on the show in the next couple of weeks, I'll say more later, would know all about it. He would know how much she got paid. He would know all of it. So I'll hit
him
up.
He was in like our bar's corner, right, or something?
That sounds right.
I think it was.
Sounds right. It's been a long time.
And I think nobody showed up.
Yeah, there was. Do we have pockets? Okay, go ahead.
I'm not going to finish it. I'll tell you after your story.
Okay. We have pockets of Hispanic folk in the Northwest. One of them is in Yakima, which is east of here over the mountains. We have this pocket of largely Hispanic population. And then down in Oregon, in Hillsboro, Oregon, is another very massively Hispanic population. And so when they run lucha shows, they hit those two areas really hard in this state and in Oregon. It's really weird. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, I was going to tell you, because you're complaining about the board on Twitter yesterday, and then
yes,
you brought up Matt Farmer. And this didn't happen on the board, it happened on Twitter, but did you witness that whole fucking day-long Matt Farmer versus Robert feud that went on?
No, but I saw one about a month back, and I was just like, I don't know why people engage with that guy, and I'm talking about Rover. I find Rover wildly entertaining, but I don't take him very seriously, you know, because I know he is just, I don't know if the man has a job. I'm not sure what he does, but he spends all day on Twitter trolling the world.
Yeah,
what was the main deal of the argument about, or what were they going back and forth about?
It was something I don't know. It was something like about the safety of the wrestlers, and it really wasn't that big of a deal. And Matt said it wasn't that big of a deal, and then Roper if you challenge him, he just kind of like loses his mind, and then just went crazy and started telling Matt that you're not a reporter, you're a historian. Don't try and break stories.
Oh my
gosh. And then he kept, I break stories. You ask Chris Zoner, ask this dude, ask that dude, and you don't question my integrity because I give all these people, all these other people are trying not to get into it. And so if I'm bored, I'll just get high and I'll just go to Robert's timeline and I'll just fucking watch him have these arguments with people. And what was
funny,
I like
how you had to get high and then go to Robert's timeline.
Well, if you don't smoke, you can just go there and have time. There was one where he actually, just recently, he stood up for me, but at the same time he insulted me. Cause
right.
They're a troll. I haven't seen him on Twitter, and I mean, in a long time because I don't go to Twitter much. I just remember he had this little picture of someone at a keyboard, and he had a magnifying glass, like he was just like examining the internet or something. It's like the funniest thing I've ever seen, and that's pretty much explained it.
Right. Unbelievable.
We need him back on the board.
He's been like a day or two if he started posting. He's on the board. He just doesn't post because he knows he'll get banned for life the next time. So,
yeah.
But it was funny because it was during the Shine Eye pay-per-view last Friday, which I didn't watch, and this one friend of mine was doing play-by-play on the Shimmer Facebook page, and he tagged me in a thing because he knows I hated this one Sparkle match from Shimmer that involved BJ Whitmer's girlfriend. So I just responded and made a comment that was kind of mean about her. So some girl from that Facebook page goes on Twitter and makes this big, who has a private Twitter account, so I couldn't even see it anyway, but she put something about this Ed and San Antonio is quickly becoming the most annoying wrestling fan or some bullshit or whatever. And then it was funny because then Mia, I guess, is friends with her, and Mia, like, you know, me and Mia are close, so Mia told her that she likes me or whatever. And then Robert, he puts me over by saying that I do all this work and I get very little credit for it and all this stuff, and then at the very end, but he is annoying as hell. I just lost my shit, dude. It's like, you can't even compliment somebody without insulting.
Build them up to tear them down.
Yeah. But like I say, every couple of days, I'll just go down his fucking timeline and just watch him engage all these people and get into these fucking arguments. And then you look
That's
at his
crazy.
Twitter account, and if you just go to his page and look at his Twitter account, you're like, how the fuck does one man have so many tweets? And then you go down his page, and you're like, yeah, he posts about 10,000 times a day.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Like I said, I don't know how he finds the time.
Well, I wish I could get paid, find a job to get paid just posting on Twitter. That would be perfect, but I don't think those jobs are out there, unfortunately. But
I'll tell you.
Anybody else? Anything else you guys want to talk about before we start to wrap up?
I want to talk about dinner. Let's wrap this up.
What's for dinner, Craig?
Hey, yeah, real quick, I wanted to ask you: Have you watched Shameless on Netflix?
Which one?
Shameless. Not
Shameless. No. What's that?
It's a story. It's just this series. I think it came on Showtime about the dysfunctional family. Like, dad's an alcoholic, and kids are all fucked up. You got to watch it. It's one of those that you get into. And I started watching it, and I haven't been able to stop watching it since. But you need to check it out.
Okay, I'll check it out, because I'm actually looking for something
like,
new
like
to binge watch.
Orange is the New Black. It's like some fucked up shit. It's pretty good. So.
Okay. I'll definitely check it out. But I guess other than that, I guess we can wrap it up. So let me throw out the plugs. Everyone, check out AngryMarks.com. You can always download and stream our show at AngryMarks.com, along with a lot of other shows. Check out AngryMarks.com. You can also download and stream our show at BlogTalkRadio.com/Couture and older shows at BlogTalkRadio.com/Edward-Laredo. You can follow me at Facebook at Edward Laredo, and you can follow me at Twitter at Ed in San Antonio.
And you can follow me on Twitter. The handle is Proper Jam, ProperJam. And, yeah, be on there.
You can follow me on Twitter, but I don't remember my ID, so no sense even bringing it up. You go to youtube.com/Petrae. There's tons of Jordan Dole wrestling. There's tons of stuff up there. I got about 100 and over 100 episodes of Mid-South Wrestling from 82 to 84. Got almost pretty much every episode of Smoky Mountain Wrestling. So if you're into that stuff, go check that out.
Yes, and if you're intent on following Chris Couture's Twitter page, it's Couture35 on Twitter. He has a whopping 11 tweets, and the last one was February 15th. So there you go.
Yes, I'm very active.
I don't understand.
That's the weird thing. Like, I read shit on Twitter, confuses me as to who's talking to who and what the fuck's going on, so I don't even bother.
Fair enough.
Cool. All right, well, I guess we'll wrap this show up, and we'll be back next week. So talk to everybody then.
Be the man. You gotta beat the man. You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the American shit. Let's go hook him up.
Tonight.